Morning, everyone. My name is Brad. I'm the lead pastor here at The River. This morning, we don't have a typical message to deliver to you. Instead, we're announcing some important church family news, and then we'll process all of that together in the presence of God. I think the best thing for me to do would just be to spit it out. So there are three important departures from our pastoral team that I want you to be aware of, and I want you to hear from us firsthand. One of them is mine, and the other two are Leslie Stahl, our children's pastor, and Michelle Manley, our pastor of spiritual formation. That is hard for me to say out loud, so I feel tremendous sadness and discomfort in saying that, and I'm aware that that discomfort is matched by you on the other side. You come typically on Sunday morning to have your heart encouraged, and I do believe that God has a word of encouragement for us today, but the word of encouragement that God has for us as a community will come in the context of the news that we have to share. So I know that's a lot to process as the opening line, so I'll just pause and let you catch your breath there. In a moment, the three of us will come up and give you a window into our stories, each slightly different stories. Before Leslie comes, I want to make some preliminary comments. One is just that all of these decisions are completely voluntary, and none of them are immediate, it's not like anyone's going anywhere next week, but sometime in the course of the summer is generally the time frame we're talking about. And I want you to be aware that we'll send out an email after the service is over, just in case you black out for a moment and forget what was said. It'll all be recaptured in email. Your other friends will see that, and you can connect with them later this afternoon about all that's been said. If you are new here today, I'll just reiterate, this is not normally what we would do on a Sunday morning, so you've come to an atypical gathering, and I really do have confidence that God has something to say to you in the midst of a community that's experiencing a challenging season with our eyes upon God. That's what we're wanting to model today. Because in moments like these, our thoughts and feelings can race every which way, I thought it would be helpful to place this announcement in the broader context of the biblical story that we're in. The biblical story is a context not to cancel out anyone's feelings, but to host our feelings, to contain our feelings, and to direct our feelings into the presence of God. So the story that we have been in these weeks of Lent, the weeks leading us up to Easter, has been the desert journey, the journey of God's people through the desert on their way to the promised land. Ash Wednesday was the very beginning of the Lenten season, and if you came to our Ash Wednesday service, or if you went to someone else's Ash Wednesday service, or if you just saw people on Facebook with ashes on their heads, you might know the words. When ashes are imposed, the words that are said are, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return." It's not a very nice phrase to say to anyone. It's a phrase that reminds us of how vulnerable we are, that we are more vulnerable than we know. In Silicon Valley, many of us can cover up our vulnerability by our wealth or by our education and by the amount of agency that we have in the world. And none of those are bad things at all, except for when we forget that we are fundamentally creatures who are in need of being taken care of. Underneath all of the armor of our things, we are all vulnerable. our bodies are more vulnerable than we know, and our communal body is always more vulnerable than we know. And we can face our vulnerability because of the promises of the goodness of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 10, the great Old Testament leader Moses is gathering up the children of Israel before they end their desert journey, before they enter the promised land. And in verse 10, it says that he's reminding them that God found them, the Hebrew children. God found them in a desert land, in the howling waste of the wilderness. He encircled them and cared for them. He kept them as the apple of his eye. There would be a season for the Hebrew people when they got into the land of abundance where it would be easy for them to forget just how vulnerable they were. And so Moses is reminding them and telling them that no matter what happens in life, you should never, ever forget what God is like. That God is the God whose eye is upon you. That God is the God who is always looking out for you. That God is the God who surrounds us with his attentive care, who cherishes us with his eye upon us. And so whatever it is you might be feeling today, and depending on our personalities, our feelings go in all sorts of ways, I want to speak first person these truths. That God is looking out for us, that God in this moment is encircling us individually and as a community, and that you are the apple of his eye, that God cherishes you and will not forget you. And if we can find our way towards resting in these good truths, our vulnerability gives way to the possibility of a deeper communion, a deeper sense of connection with one another, which I want to call us into today, and a deeper connection with the God who loves us. So, here are our three stories. I want to invite Leslie to come. As she does, I want to invite you to take a breath, let yourself be aware of where it is you carry tension in your body, maybe in your shoulders or maybe in your gut. Relax yourself in the presence of God and let your inner being become aware of the conscious presence of God who encircles us with his eye upon us.
Hi. There's no way around that this is kind of weird. So, as Brad said, we each have our own story. Mine is pretty separate, but we wanted to announce it all today so that you all have a picture of the upcoming changes. I want to start by saying that I have loved being the children's ministry director and then pastor for the last almost 9 years. It's been a joy to watch families form, kids grow up, and our program adapt over time and through many challenges. I've particularly loved working alongside our staff team and the amazing kids community volunteer ministers who really are the hands and feet of Jesus to our kids. As my own kids have gotten older, the needs of our family have changed and things have shifted in my own life and schedule. So this year has been a time of vocational discernment for me. From my past career in education, my experience as a parent and foster parent, to my current ministry and even in my seminary classes, I continue to find that my passion lies in helping children grow and develop in all areas of their lives. So over the last several months, I have felt God leading me to minister to children and families in a different setting for now, as an elementary school teacher. I have learned so much over the years of working here, and I look forward to bringing all that to my work with children and families in our larger community. I'll be stepping down from my position at the end of the summer, after Maker Camp, don't worry, but our family still plans to attend and be involved in the river. When I made this decision and committed to teaching in the fall, I did not know that Brad and Michelle were leaving. I just found that out recently. So even though this is all coincidental, we decided to announce it together so that you have a more complete picture of upcoming transitions. I know we are entering a potentially vulnerable time in our church, but I have faith that God has a plan for us and our community. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. It is strange to stand before you this morning and speak these words, maybe as strange as it is for some of you to receive them. But it's true that the time is coming for me to relinquish my role as one of the pastors of this community. As Brad said, the specific timing of that is yet to be determined. Working with him and with the board on what will serve this church best in a time of significant transition. But I expect to relinquish my role on staff sometime this summer. You know, I am actually particularly sensitive to the propensity for exaggeration and just like painting everything glowing in moments like this. But as I reflected this week, I determined that there was probably no way that I could possibly exaggerate the gift that it's been for me to be invited by God and welcomed by you to bring my gifts and lead in this place for 26 years. I have been stretched. I have felt developed. I have felt welcome to lead from who I am. And God has forged in me a passion for what the church can be like because of what we've shared. And God has only deepened my love for this church and for the unique ways that we experience and express Jesus in the world. So you hear, it's with an incredible mixture of emotion that I make this decision. There's so much sadness in letting go. But I will say that I have enough clarity to let go. Many of you will know that the last 4 years of our life together as a church has involved some difficult terrain as we've explored harm that was done during a season in our youth ministry back in 2014 to 2019. That's important and ongoing work. And it's work that has asked much of many of us. And it's work that has asked much of me, both professionally and personally. And I am grateful for numerous moments throughout the heaviness of this season when I have felt a deep connection to my calling and my invitation to be a shepherd in this place. The unique, sometimes awful, but still privilege of being with people, holding space, expressing empathy, holding to hope in pain and confusion. But I have also been aware simultaneously that over this season, there has been an accumulation of pain to my own soul. And it's a pain that's been hard to name, hard to find appropriate space for, as we have endeavored to pay deepest attention to those who were harmed in our youth ministry and to their families. On one particularly grueling day this past fall, when my energy and my hope were draining, I had another moment of expressing before God, you know, like, how does one get through a season like this? And I just felt the whisper of God to me, well, you know, at some point you'll need a convalescence. I'm aware that convalescence is kind of an old-fashioned word. You probably know, if you've been around me, that I'm kind of a word person, so maybe that's why God chose such a unique word. But what it indicated to me was that there would need to be a set-apart space, a set-apart season for rest and recovery. And I had hoped to maintain my leadership role here through to the end of the season of investigation that we're undergoing. But as that season has just continued to lengthen, it's just become clear to me that it's not wise to keep putting it off. If you use an analogy to a sports player with an injury, I think in recent weeks, it's just felt clear to me that in playing through my injury, there's risk of greater damage. So I'm not sure with much specificity what lies ahead for me vocationally. What I know is that when my time is done on our team, I will take at least a year for this convalescence, for rest and for recovery in the presence of God. And unfortunately, I know that that necessitates a separation from the river for Mark and for me. And that's part of why this comes with so much sadness. But I trust that that's what I need and what all that I need to know for now, that what comes after that is in God's hands and that I can trust him for it. You know, having been part of the river's story for 26 years, almost since its beginning, and my husband from the very beginning, both of us could tell you in these difficult days with tremendous confidence that God is the God of the river's past, of the river's present, and of the river's future, and that God loves his church with a love that is so much greater and deeper than my own, and God hopes for his church always. So there will be days to talk about what's next, but I just want to say today that I am confident in the God who holds our future. Thanks.
I need to ask you to bear with one more personal narrative. This really has been the hardest decision of my life, a painful place for me to come to. The difficulty of this decision to a great degree comes out of my love for this church, which is that my love for you all as a community is intact, and that this has been such a wonderful space to offer my gifts and to live out my vocation as a pastor. And I'm so grateful for the love that is shared in this space and the unique gifts that are offered in this space, and I consider myself so incredibly grateful and fortunate to have had the chance to walk with you for 24 years. I have an abiding, deep belief in the unique vocation of this community. And that's not to say that this church is better than any other church, but it has its unique space on the landscape of churches. And the healing context that this community has provided for people who have been pained, especially pained by the church, or who feel far from a desire to ever be in a church, I continue to just believe in the goodness of the vocation of this community. And yet, sometime in the next, handful of months, I'll relinquish my role, and like Michelle and Mark, Vicki and I will make a clean break from the community that we've loved for 24 years and in which we've received the love of Christ from you all. I want you to hear from me two factors that have weighed heavily in my discernment. One has to do with what I see when I look within my own heart. Michelle talked about the investigation of the last few years, and that has, for me as well, been a challenging and painful and exhausting experience. And frankly, it's been a kind of pain that I just haven't been able to tend to while in this context and in this role. So I feel like I'm kind of ignoring something that's going on inside me that is asking for attention. To say that these years have been painful is not a statement of blame at all on anyone. It's just the reality of where I find myself these days. And the pain of the investigation, for me, comes in the line of another series of events over the last 5 years or so that have been soul-wearying to me. So we're all part of the same world events, the COVID pandemic, the intensification of polarization in culture. All of that's made congregational life more isolating. There's more irritation with one another in church systems. And the church leadership task has become more complex and more conflictive, and I would just to own my codependence, in the midst of that. It's just like it accumulates on my insides. And then, a couple of years ago, there was the more personal event of my father's decline and passing. And those of you who are familiar with the grief journey know of its unpredictability. You think you're fine, and then you're not fine, and who knows how long such waves of things last. So as I look back on the last handful of years, it just sort of feels like, one wave after another to endure. In my surfing days in Hawaii, I had that experience of like just wave crashing over, and you get back up and catch your breath, and then another wave crashing over, and it could become a dangerous sort of thing. And I feel like I've had that experience of just like I'm having trouble catching my breath adequately, and there are some ways in which I know how to do the job, and there are other ways in which I feel more disconnected from my soul than I feel like is good for me. And there was a recent prayer time in which another person spoke those words out of Psalm 23 that say, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." And I felt like I heard those words in a deep sort of way, that it is a discipline of God and an instruction of God to lie down and to find sustained rest from the pressures of this context. So that's part of what's going on for me. I have been looking within myself and trying to take stock of what it is that I am most needing. But even while I have been looking within, I have been looking ahead as well. I have been looking ahead and asking God what He has in store for the river. And I really do believe that there is another chapter on the horizon for the river. I really do believe that sometime in the not too distant future, the events that have occupied our attention for the last couple of years will come to a place of substantive rest, and a new chapter of the river will begin to unfold. As I've prayed about that chapter, I felt like the Holy Spirit drew me to the words of the poet T.S. Eliot. One of his most famous poems contains a line that says, "Next year's words await another voice." Those words lodged in me and really have never left. Next year's words await another voice. In my deep sense, is that what those words mean for me and for our community is that next year's vision is best articulated by another leader. Another leader with a fresh anointing and with a prophetic imagination for the unique and specific way that God is calling this community to lay down its life for a hurting world. So pastoring this church has been an extraordinary privilege, and I am grateful to God, and I am grateful to you for being a great church to pastor. And I am also saying that leading the church into the future, into the next chapter, is a sacred task for another person, and that I have come to clarity about. That decision is made with great sadness in my heart, and that sadness corresponds to the affection that I have for all of you. And I want to say that my sadness is exceeded by hope for the chapter that's ahead. And I am praying for you all, that you find your place in that story, that you take your role in the story of God and do your part as seeing the river flourish. So, there are so many more things that could be said and that will be said in other conversations, but I'm pretty sure that that's enough for now. On behalf of us all, I want to thank you for receiving our stories and for exuding a spirit of care and compassion. I want to thank you for loving the church. I want to acknowledge what might be slowly dawning upon you, that this makes for a hard season for the church in all likelihood. And I simply want to say, along with everyone who's been here for many years, that this church has been through many hard seasons. The church has always been through hard seasons, and in those hard seasons, leaned on the goodness of God and the provision of God, and come through the other side thanking God for his generosity and his abundant care. And I expect fully for the story to continue. So with that, I want to invite River Board Member Chris Mates to come and say a few words and to help us transition from the news that we're telling you to the experience of worship where you can meet with the God who loves us. Thank you.
Morning. Last time I started crying after the first service after three words. I'll see how far I get this time. You know, this is to say that many of us I know were experiencing a lot of emotions right now. A lot of feelings, lots of thoughts, lots of questions, and we'll get there in a moment. From the board, I'd just like to say a couple things just to clarify. First, as you heard from these three stories, that they're all independent personal decisions. None of these departures were initiated by the board. We wanted each of these people to stay in their roles, and we are really sad. Here it goes. We are really sad that they planned their departures. Just also wanted to say that these transitions are not related to any new developments in the ongoing investigations. Just so we want to be clear about that. In terms of what's next, the board is praying and we're meeting very often to help put a plan for how to move forward. And we'll be implementing some structures that will give people in the congregation opportunity to participate in that process. And you'll hear more about that, though, next Sunday. It's really not the time now to go into that. So we'll have more detail on that next week. But that's not what today is about. So right now, we should acknowledge for ourselves that this is grievous to us and that this is something that we will have to show ourselves kindness and patience and show others as well as we go through this. this is a grief process that will be many stages, and maybe they'll hit us at unexpected times. So this is important for us that we practice grace for ourselves and grace for one another in the midst of this. But for now, let's enter into God's presence. The important work right now is to be fully present to what is happening in us, so that we can be fully present to God in this moment. Because in this moment, we can proclaim that God is faithful. In the scriptures, we're told that God is righteous. And righteous doesn't really mean that God is good, although he is good. It's a technical term that means that God is faithful to his covenant, that he keeps his promises, and that his love is everlasting. So we can bring all of our concerns and our fears and our questions and our hopes to God, because he is faithful and he has his eye on us and his hand upon us. So I would ask that Kevin and the worship team come up. We're going to take a few minutes now and allow ourselves to gather up all that we may be feeling and thinking right now, and be present to God with it. So you could put the slide on the screen. So as we come to God with our whole hearts, if you're with someone that you trust, you can turn to them and talk to them if there's things that you feel like you need to say or to share, or if you would appreciate a quiet moment of solitude, then feel free to just close your eyes and welcome the living God, the God of the covenant, to be with you in whatever you're feeling at this point.